This morning, what I want to do is to simply direct your heart to the heart of the leadership in our ministry. This is not really a sermon, it's just an encouragement. It's not really an admonition, it's a pleading for you to understand the value of being fully engaged in Crossroads, fully engaged in the church, fully engaged in the ministry that God has offered you, the ministry that God has provided you with. Several years ago, we changed the name of our ministry. This is before most of you were here. It used to be called College Life. But what we did is we recognized that a lot of people who were in Crossroads, College Life then, weren't in college. They were in and around the age, but they certainly weren't going to school, had plans maybe, or schools in the rearview mirror, but they weren't dominated by the campus. So we said, well, what could be our name? What name would really grab who we are, what we're about? I could tell you some really bad offerings that some of the leadership put in. I put in some really cheesy ones too. And I want to just suggest to you that we have a leadership team that's holy and godly, but you just don't want to get them in the room and offer cheesy ideas because they will let you know very quickly. At the end, we decided on Crossroads. It was actually a guy named Christian Zorio who just said, look, these people are at the crossroads of their entire life. They're making decisions that are going to impact the rest of their life. They are at the crossroads, and at the center of the word crossroad is the word cross. So why don't we do that? We did, and it stuck. That name, though, reflects so much of what you need to think about in the coming years. For some of you, this is it. You are a senior. You can see graduation day in the hopeful vision of your future. You have senioritis really bad, don't you? The thought of starting a new year of school brings no joy. It brings only the dread of papers, and you just want to get it behind you and go make lots of money. And I just pray for you all the time. For some of you, you're at the very beginning. Freshman, brand new. For others, you're somewhere in between. For some of you, you've been around Crossroads a long time and you just want to stay. And we're so thankful that you've stayed, provided leadership, discipleship, accountability. Keep us on the vision that we've set. But I think it's fair to say in the next 2 to 6 years, almost all of you will make a profound, life-changing decision in your life. It's probably easier to say that you'll make several of those decisions. You'll decide how to spend your time. You'll make financial decisions. You're making decisions in the next 2 to 6 years that will impact you buying a house or having an investment for your kids' future. Some of you are getting in debt this week in a way that will affect you for the coming years. You're making financial decisions that will affect the rest of your life. You're making social decisions. Who are your friends? Who's going to influence you? Who are you going to influence yourself? You're making sexual decisions. How far will you go? What are your standards of purity? And it's likely that most of you in the next 2 to 6 years will make marital decisions. Who will it be? You're at the crossroads of intellect as you enter into the school year. We've said many times, we're at the hinge of the industrial age and the information age. The world will change more in your lifetime than it has in the past 1,000 years. I kid you not, I remember the thought that went through my mind that we are in the space age when we got a push-button phone. I used to dial like this. Ka-chung. Ka-chung. It would take 45 minutes to dial the phone. Then we got a push-button phone, and it was awesome. I remember picking it up and going, doot. You can play songs. Not know who you're calling, but you can play songs. It was amazing. Then we got, are you ready for this? A cordless phone. Walk all around the house. So cool. I have a phone right now that if I am sitting with it in my hand in Samara, Russia, my wife can call me. Hey, what's up? It's just unbelievable. I can get my email on this phone. I can have my planner on this little phone. It's incredible technology. Some of you have laptops that could run the world. I don't know if Tim's here today, but Bill Zimmer was telling me that there's more technology in a laptop, notebook, computer than all the computers combined that put a man on the moon. It's changing so fast. Some of you who are older, remember the TI-35, Texas Instrument? This red LED thing, and I got logarithms. Look at what I could do in chemistry. It was incredible. Now there's web TV, pagers and emailers and computers that respond to verbal communication, bombs that blow up, bombs that blow up, bombs that blow up, bombs. I can drive anywhere in the country and have a little navigation device. It's kind of freaky, and I can turn it on and it says, "You are here. Where do you want to go?" I just look around. Who's watching me? This is a bizarre thought. The satellite can track my car in the middle of the desert. Turn left. Go 47 miles. We have Mars probes, atom splitting, genetic engineering, cloning, test tube babies. And of course, we have the indescribably complex system of ordering a cup of coffee at Starbucks. It's a great time to be alive, but you are at the crossroads of intellect, and how you use your mind will determine your future. You're at the crossroads of morality. Our world is losing its moral vision more and more every day. They sell cars and they sell coffee with sex. What used to be right is now wrong, and what used to be wrong is now right. You have a president who can lie under oath and it's okay. You have the advent of abortion at an epic rate. Our insurance will not pay for fertilization testing. If a couple really wants to have a baby, won't pay to help you do whatever you need to do to have a baby. But it will pay for what it says as, quote, a voluntary interruption of pregnancy, end quote. An abortion. Divorce is rampant. Cheating is justified. Sexual immorality is viewed as normal and even encouraged. And you're seen as weird if you don't experiment before you get married. All that really leads you to being at the crossroads, though, of eternity. The decisions that you make influence the rest of eternity. What do you think about God? What do you think about the gospel? How serious are you about being serious about church, being involved? Being a husband and a father have confirmed a fear of mine that I am a stereotypical male. I am the worst case scenario when it comes to manness that shows up in a variety of places, but one is my refusal to ask for directions. Won't do it. Can't do it. Violates the code. A man who does do it needs counsel. Come see me. The problem is I need directions. And I'm typically in a place when I won't ask directions, when I need directions, when my wife is there who knows the directions. And she typically just lets me go for a while. This happened in Detroit. We lived there for a couple years. We got on the freeway. We had just moved there, and I have a keen sense of awareness, an inner compass. And I got on the freeway. We're going to go north. And we're going south. And Kim says, I don't think this is right, honey. Trust me. Really, Ricky, we got on coming out. I said, honey, come on. I mean, I'm the man. I know where I'm going. And so we're going and going. You remember this, Kim? Yeah. And she's nodding and smiling. And finally, there was this moment of terrorized panic when I knew that she was right. And I was wrong. And there's no way to get out at that point. I can't say I forgot something and try to confuse her with the on-ramps. And so I did what every husband does. You know, that sign must have been wrong because I'm totally going the wrong direction. I mean, you're right, but that's because I think it said north and it really meant south. And she said, just get off the freeway. That's happened more times than once, but I will not ask for directions. You know, we need to ask for directions. And that's not just a male thing with directions. It's a Christian thing with counsel. We kind of think we have this internal compass that points us in the right direction, that points us in the right way. And if we just kind of sense and feel and think hard enough, then we'll end up living our lives in the right way. The problem is the natural inclination, the natural default of our heart is not to follow God, not to follow His precepts, not to honor His Word and do what His Word says naturally. The default of our heart is to go the opposite direction and thinking you're going the right direction. You desperately need a compass to point you in the right direction, lest you find you're going the wrong way and in horror where you end up. So with that in mind, I want to just give you some commitments of our ministry, can I? I want to talk about our commitment to you. Our commitment to you as shepherds, as senior staff, as elders, small group leaders, this is our commitment to you. And I want to set this out really clearly for you at the beginning of the year because I want you to hold us accountable as we pursue these mandates biblically, we feel, to shepherd you. Crossroads will point you in the following 7 directions. This is what our ministry exists for. This is what we want to do. And if you find us not doing it, tell us to pull over and get off the freeway and go the other way. These are our commitments to you. We want to be absolutely upfront and clear as to what we're about and what we want to do with this year in Crossroads as we work together. First of all, the first direction we want to point you to is toward God. It seems obvious. Toward God. I hope it doesn't surprise you, but it might. Church is about God. It's about God. That's why we gather. That's what we're here for. That's the person we focus on. It's about Him, not us. It seems incredibly overstated, but it's really understated because when you get up in the morning, you're thinking about what you're going to wear, who you're going to see, what you're going to do after church, what you're going to do tomorrow. Do you have homework? Are you going to go? Are you going to stay? There are 1,000 things that come into mind when you get involved in Sunday morning and Crossroads and big church. Or am I going to come back Sunday night? Am I going to go to Bible study? Am I going to go to the evangelism time before campus? Am I going to stay after and hang out with my friends? What is all that about? Those are good decisions, but if they don't have God at the center, you're not going to make the right decision. And even far worse, you'll make the right decision with the wrong motivation, which will trick you into thinking you're going the right direction. People come to church for a variety of reasons, but our reason for meeting together will continue to be to learn about God, to worship God, to serve God, to honor God, to treasure God, to discuss the greatness of God, to understand God, because of all He's told us about Himself in Scripture. And then ultimately to learn that so we can tell others about our great God and our great King. So many false gods that you better be sure you have the right one. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. That means there's a time when He won't be found and a time He won't be near. Do it now. It doesn't say seek the fellowship of everybody. Seek to come. Seek the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways greater than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So Isaiah 55:6-following. God's ways are not our ways. Therefore, we have to constantly put ourselves back in proximity of God, in proximity of instruction about God, so that we know that it is about Him and not us. So we want to point you to God. We're going to talk about God. We're going to sing about God. It's going to be God, God, God. We want it to be that way. Second direction Crossroads will point you to is to truth. To truth. At the turn of the century, there was an astronomer who was the most well-respected in all the earth. He was all the world. He was a British scientist, and he was looking at his telescope at Mars and got a newer, more amplified telescope than any that had ever been built. And he was looking through it at Mars, and he began to see lines on Mars, and he was convinced those were water canals, and that those water canals indicated that there were Martians, there was life on Mars. And the scientific community bought it because he was the leading, most respected person. Well, we've now landed on Mars with a probe. We've taken pictures of Mars with satellites. We know that there are no canals on Mars. We know that there are no Martians. There's nothing that even resembles canals. What was this guy, Sir Percival Lowell, his name? He was knighted as a sir because of his discovery. What was going on? How could the whole world have followed him so wrongly? It was later discovered that he had an interesting disease of his eye. His eye was very acute. And when he looked into the eyepiece, there was refraction and reflection bouncing back and forth such that the light was shining inside to the back of his eye, and his veins were showing up on the glass, and he was mapping the veins on the back of his eye. You know, I wonder how many of us think we're doing the right thing, think we're thinking the right way, would bet our life on it. We are sure this is right. You know how many of us would do that? All of us. Without the introduction of biblical truth into our lives, our default is to go on our own, and it'll lead us into a Christless eternity. We believe that the Bible is the exact, inerrant, infallible, utterly dependable, very Word of God. And because of this conviction, our ministry is built on exposition. It's a renewed commitment that when you come, we're going to talk about the Bible, what the Bible says, apply what the Bible says, and look at it as our only source for truth, our only source for godliness. On Sunday mornings and on our weekly Bible studies, we are committed to you to teach what the Bible says, all the Bible says, but no more than what the Bible says. The third direction we want to point you is to heaven. Is to heaven. We're called to be watchmen. We're called to be guides, to show you the path to go to heaven. It's another way of saying to point you to the gospel. We want to be a ministry that points you to the only way to go to heaven by embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died an unjustified death for sin that he never committed, and applied the satisfaction of that death to anyone who would ever believe in him as their substitute. We want to be committed to each other to treasure the gospel. I love John Martin for one overarching reason in my life as a minister. Have you noticed we sing songs about the cross, about the gospel? And if there seems to be a repeating theme, you figured it out. And I'm so thankful for John and our worship team for continually in our music pointing us back to that. We want to continually in our shepherding and our discipleship and our preaching to do the same. And to never be unaffected by the gospel. John, as you were leading us today, we've sung that song before, but it was just overwhelming, the little phrase, how deep the pain of searing loss. And I know it's trite, it's sentimental, it's overused, but I just began thinking about my sons. What it would be like to see one of them die. I can't think of a more shocking reality. And yet, the Father crushed His Son for those who hated Him. And we need to be constantly affected by that reality. Never grow cold to that reality. Never let that reality stop stirring us. That leads us to a fourth direction, very obviously. Crossroads should point to holiness. To holiness. Let me just be blunt with you. If you're living an impure, immoral, unholy life, you're going to find discomfort. You're going to be disturbed here. Every year, somebody leaves our ministry. They call us legalistic, unloving, hateful, godless people because we try to get involved in their life and help them to stop the sin that's crushing and destroying them. If you want to be involved in Crossroads, we're committed to helping you become holier and more sanctified. We want to be serious about sin, serious about its consequences. To be holy is to move away from your sin and be more like your Savior. 1 Peter 1:13 to 16. Be holy like God is holy. Very simple. Be holy. How holy like God? How holy is that? Perfect. Can't do that. Then it puts you right back into treasuring God for the gospel who gave us perfection in belief in His Son. A fifth direction we want our ministry to point. To counsel. To counsel. And you say, why counsel? Because you need it. Because I need it. We need direction. We need a guide. We need a counselor. Life is full of trials and problems and disappointments. And if you're around us long enough, you're going to find ours and we'll find yours. And may I be so bold as to announce that there is nothing that life can throw at you that people in this room don't have the answer for. Because we know the source, right? His divine power, 2 Peter 1, verse 2, has granted to us, verse 3, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and excellence. That's comprehensive. So we want this to place to come if you're troubled. We want this to place to be a place to come if you have problems, if you have issues. And we won't say, woe is you. We'll say, welcome to the spiritual hospital that is called the church. Sixthly, a sixth direction that we want Crossroads to point to. Fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship is really spiritual friendships. Friendships based on spiritual, heavenly, biblical realities. That's what fellowship is. It's encouraging, it's counseling, it's convicting one another, admonishing one another, teaching one another. A group of people who will be there for you when it's good, and a group of people who will be there for you and with you when it's bad. Fellowship. You know, some of you might even find a spouse out of this fellowship thing. That'd be great. Find someone with the common focus, common interest in the gospel, common bond in love for the church. And you say, why don't we do this together like for the rest of our lives? That'd be great. Very pro-marriage ministry. I was accused of being marriage happy. I'm not marriage happy. I'm marriage giddy. You're old enough. Be responsible. Get your life ready. Get married. We'll come back to that next week, okay? For a few weeks. Lastly, a compass that points to discipleship. So important. A compass that points to discipleship. Opportunities to build and enjoy spiritual friendships. Direction, a compass, direction pointing to discipleship. We don't want you to come and sit and leave. We don't want you to be a part of a group. We want you to be a part of a smaller group. Of people you can talk to, you can relate to, you can be helped by, and for whom you can provide help. Let me just tell you, discipleship has changed my life. There are men whom I've spent time with. My life will never be the same because of my close contact with them, their shepherding of my own life, their confronting of my own perspectives, my own sin. And it typically happens just because you're good friends with somebody. Can I just be freshly, brutally honest with you? I had a dear friend today sitting in this gym who came to me this morning and said, you know what, I want to challenge something you said and make you think more deeply about it. God sanctified me in that very moment. mutual discipleship, sharpening one another, being more holy as a result of our friendships. When someone comes alongside you and encourages you, that should make you love them deeper, not resent them. Now, your immediate reaction is, hang on. But pray for a heart that will say, wow, thank you. Do you see any more? Because if you don't, we can sit for a while and I'll show you some. You are at a crossroads this morning. You're going to choose whether to be involved in Grace Community Church and Crossroads Ministry or not. Our desire is not that you come to the meeting. Our desire is that you're involved in the ministry. In order to do that, we're going to do something we do every year. I ask the shepherds to go to their signs, if they will. They're going to stand over there. I'm going to introduce you to them. John, take the mic and run around with them. I want you to know who they are. And you can take some time to go and spend time with them. If you're already involved in a Bible study, let the other people go to these signs. These are the men who shepherd us. These are our Bible studies. These are the men. I'm telling you. Look up. Eye contact. Listen, while they're going, listen. You have no idea. You really have no concept. The gift these men are from God to you guys. You have no concept. And if you do, it's even better than you think. These men love you. They pray for you. They sacrifice for you. They give to you. They give for you. And they have full lives independent of what they're doing. So I would just call this the Crossroads Pastoral Team. That's why we call them shepherds. Let me introduce them to you. This is Clint Archer at Santa Clarita. What are you guys doing this year? When do you meet and where are you and what are you studying?
Wow, you guys can hear me. We meet on Thursday nights at the Neednoggles home in Canyon Country, probably about 7 minutes from the college. We're preaching through the book of Judges, and we try to stay in the Old Testament narrative sections. And there are about 80 of us at the moment crammed into a lovely home with a lot of kids and a lot of single girls still looking for husbands, a lot of single guys still looking for wives.
Marriage giddy,
absolutely. I'm a big fan. And, yeah, we'd love to have you. Most of our students are master's college students, but we are open to anyone who lives in the area, Canyon Country area.
Out in Santa Clarita Valley. Thank you so much, Clint. Fireside. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. When do you meet? Where?
We meet on Thursdays, 7 o'clock. We meet in a house just down the street from the master's college. And we're kind of a small group, but we're studying through Philippians, and we just want to be intimate and pursue Christ together and just worship Him. So if you want to come and be a part of that, we'd love to have you.
Great. A few years ago, we had a Bible study in the valley called Northside. We retired the name. It has been resurrected. It is now Northside. Used to be Stevenson Ranch. Brad Pixley shepherds that study.
We are now meeting on the Northside. That's why we're Northside. We're just right off the 14 in Friendly Valley at the Bergeron's home. They are not here this morning. Kelly's working the nursery and Scott's taking care of a sick baby, but they have a wonderful home that they welcomed us into. We're a home Bible study, so anyone in the area is welcome to come. We meet Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, and this semester we're studying biblical church leadership. That's not just for guys, it's for all of us, as we should all aspire to leadership in some measure in the church. So we hope to look at the Word of God and see what God has to say about those who lead in His church.
Far Side. Yes, thank you, LD. I appreciate that.
There's the one guy on my payroll right over there. My name is Young Leon. It is my privilege to be the shepherd of Far Side Bible Study, also known as the Purpose-Driven Bible Study. I didn't tell you about that, but I'm kidding. Please, I'm kidding.
See why it's called the Far Side? The humor just is a little... Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway. I don't take offense to that. We are currently going through the Old Testament. We are just about to start the book of Ruth. We meet in my home in Stevenson Ranch. We're smaller home studies. We meet on Friday nights at 7 p.m. And that's really all you need to know.
generations with Bob White. This is a different kind of Bible study. It's unique to the rest of them. Bob, tell them what you're about and where you guys meet.
Okay, we meet in our home, the home of Bob and Terry White. We call it the Western White House.
So if you want to get to
the White House, this is how you would do it. And if you look at the list up there, I would say that our generations Bible study would be heavy on counsel and discipleship. So if you're not plugged into a Bible study midweek, did you notice this morning how just Rick's passion kind of bring you need to be at a church on Sunday morning? Well, I think you need to be at a fellowship group during the week. So if you're not plugged in, we would invite you to plug into all these places. You're going to grow in your faith. If you want to come to Generations, the selling point, if you would be that we have the people who called John MacArthur as pastor. Okay, we had a birthday of someone who was 78 years old this morning, and she is one of the more godly ladies that you ever get to know. A guy with over 40 years of teaching on the campus of Cal State Northridge. So there are older folks, a guy with 30 years in the FBI. So you can be discipled in the Generations Bible study. We're going through the book of Ephesians. Last semester we did chapters 1 through 3 and learned a lot about doctrine. This semester we're going to be in chapters 4 through 6, and it's going to be to apply that doctrine. So Great. You heard that we need to change. That's what we're going to talk about. How do you change away from your sin towards Christ-likeness?
Thanks, Bob. Now, Hillside, Gus, you've placed your sign higher than everyone else. I respect that.
I'm overcompensating, of course.
Where do you guys meet, when, and what are you studying, Gus?
We meet at the Roar's house 7 minutes from here, or 8 minutes. And we are studying Colossians. And if you want to be involved in discipleship, fellowship, counseling, holiness, heaven, truth, and God, come and see us. And we are the Wild at Heart Bible study.
Glendale College study. John?
Hi, my name is John Weidmaner. The shepherd there recently took over. And we're actually in a stage where we're looking for people who have a heart of evangelism to reach the Glendale campus. And I guess you could say, if you're familiar with Acts 1:8, Jesus commands his disciples to start in Judea, go to Samaria and to the outermost parts of the earth. And we kind of want to look at our campus like a Samaria. And right now we're in that stage where we're reaching the campus. And this last Wednesday, we talked to a number of people who seem to be interested. And we're a little few in numbers, but we're in prayer. And we'd like to have you if you're in the area and you'd like to be part of us. The exact room is still to be designated. But if you call me, we'll get you on the campus with us at our table, and we're just in the process, like I said, just reaching the campus. So stop by our table, and we'll give you some more information.
Thanks, John. All the way across the gym to the College of the Canyons. Joey Pemberthy.
Yes, we meet on Tuesdays at College of the Canyons in the cafeteria at 7 o'clock, and we are studying the book of James, so come and be a part of that. And we have an emphasis on smaller groups, discussion groups, and on evangelism. So if you guys have any interest in that and live in the area or go to the school, then come by. 7 o'clock, Tuesdays, cafeteria.
Thanks, Joe. A brand new study this year, Caltech. Down in Pasadena.
Caltechers are people too.
Jim Brutico, by the way.
Need to realize that. So, yeah, my name's Jim Brutico. I was at COC for 3 years and now excited to extend to the Pasadena area. So one selling point, of course, is we're way out there. And you may actually be way out there and waiting for the time where there'd be a campus study nearby. It will be very evangelical based. We will be going out on the campus and evangelizing. That's something that we all need to do if we're not already doing it. And we will be beginning in the book of Galatians when we start. They're on the system like UCLA, so we don't start school until the end of September, but we are already meeting on campus in the Avery Room. We'll be beginning at 7:30, and so hopefully we might find some interest in some of you here, whether you go to Caltech or not, because I know there aren't too many of you who are going to Caltech, so, but we definitely are interested in all types of people, so please come.
It's great. I love it. Dan Powell, who's standing in for Adam Tyson.
All right. Well, we meet on CSUN's campus on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock in the Burbank Room. We will be going through 1 Peter, looking at an eternal focus versus a temporal one in life.
Great. Now, who is that over there at LAV? Because Caleb's not there.
Yeah, Caleb's in Bakersfield. I'm Brent Curtis. LAVC is Los Angeles Valley College. It's in Burbank. We've got a faithful group of about 8 to 10 people. It's a really great study. We'll be studying Romans 9 through 11. Really great study on the election of Israel. Get a great look into the Apostle Paul's heart as he just struggles through Israel's election and their salvation. And we are looking for senior staff. We really need help in that area. So if you know any people that would like to help out there, or if you are willing, see me or Caleb. Thanks.
Significant feature of LA Valley is it's the closest campus to Grace Church, just a few miles down Coldwater. So, USC. A little friendly rivalry between the Trojans and the Bruins on the side of the gym over here.
This is my best friend, John Rourke. And I'm comforting him because it's going to be a hard year again for UCLA. So, anyway, yeah. You see, we're at a distance a bit, but we're still good buddies, right? Yeah. So, anyway, we do have a Bible study. Not only do we play football, but we also have a Bible study. So, if you think our football team is good, you should come to our Bible study. So, yeah,
that'll
it's
work.
That good. So, we meet on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock at the Fishbowl. And we are studying Romans 6
through
8.
That's a room.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a room.
You're not exposed for all you are by going there, so.
Yes. It's at the University Religious Center, Office of Religious Life. We're studying Romans 6 through 8 right now. And so we emphasize all those things. And football as well. So,
that's great.
So if you want to come out and be a part of a winning team, this is where you'll go. So, anyway, now, John Rourke.
And finally, UCLA, shepherded by John Rourke.
Yeah. UCLA, Rolfe Hall, UCLA campus, 7 o'clock Friday night. And anybody here in the UCLA group would be more than happy to share with you any other details you'd like to know. Also, I direct your attention to Justin McKidrick. Stand up, Justin, and Jim Ayers. Stand up, both of you, because they're really the ones who co-shepherd the study with me. We're of a pretty good size, and it would only be possible with these two guys as well. So please speak with any one of us if you'd like to know more information about UCLA.
These are the men who shepherd the souls of Crossroaders. And I would encourage you, if you're plugged in, then don't just use this as a time to go get more information. You already know about it, but these guys are going to hang out for a while, and if you have any questions that you want to talk to them about with getting involved, you have your information sheet there in front of you. You can meander around. They'll be here for a while. You want to talk to a few shepherds to see which one might fit your schedule and your pace of life and where you drive and which night of the week, then you can do that as well. But we want to take the time to dismiss you to go talk to these guys. Have a great Sunday afternoon. We'll see you tonight.